So, Erev Tov to everyone. I hope everyone is well. And last week, of course, in our first class, we gave a skira klalit. We gave an overview, a general overview of Sefer Yeshayahu. We divided the book into its main units. The two major units are chapter 1 through 39 and chapter 40 through 66. We also gave an overview of within those bigger units, what exactly is going on in the smaller units of Sefer Yeshayahu. That was our first focus. The second part we spent of the shiur was talking about the authorship of the Sefer Yeshayahu, and was it written by one author? Was it written by two authors? Was it written by three authors? Or do we say it was written, all benevuah, predictive nevuah? We had different shitot. We saw the different approaches. We talked about the philosophical debate that's at the that in the night in the 19th century really was a big dividing line within the Jewish community about issues related to prophecy and traditionalism. And what you believed, and emunot v'deot, and all these interesting dividing lines that became a big issue. And we concluded, we noted that, and we tried to art, show the different issues that pointed to the fact that the second half of the book, even if it's written by the same author as the first half of the book, it certainly has a very different flavor. The name Yeshayahu doesn't appear at all between Perek Mem and Perek Samech Vav. Does not appear at all, the name of Yeshayahu. On the other hand, Assyria does not appear at all in the second half of the book, while it's the dominant superpower that threatens the safety and security of Am Yisrael in the first half of the book. And many other linguistic differences between the first and the second part of the book. At the same time, as we mentioned, even if one believes that it was written by a second author, much later, not much later, but 150 years later, during the Tkufa, during the period between the destruction of the temple and the restoration of the ability for Jews to come back to Eretz Yisrael with the Persian conquest of Babel, it's clear that the second prophet wanted to use language that echoed the language of Yeshayahu, the first Yeshayahu. So even if it was the second Yeshayahu, he certainly wanted to copy the style, just like we've spoken, just like in life, Talmidim, students, devotees often will copy the style. The disciples, even if they live hundreds of years later, will try to copy the style of the mentor, of the master, etc. Tonight we start Perek Mem in depth. And we, again, basically in the second half of the book from chapter 40 to 66, basically you can divide the book in either two major units or three major units. Either you divide it as follows between Mem and Nun He, between chapter 40 and chapter 55, or you divide it and then the rest from chapter 56 through chapter 66. That's one very popular division. And once we've seen some of the Prakim, we have a better way to talk about why we would divide it in that way. And another way to divide it would be chapter 40 to 48, 49 to 55, and then 56 to 66, which would be another way to divide the book. Again, when we see more of the chapters, we can actually give some meat to these bones of why we would divide the chapters in this way as opposed to another way. That's the, it has to have some rationale, literary connections. But even again, as I said, even as we divide the chapters, we'll see, and even as we divide the units, we'll see that there's still connective tissue between all the various parts, which is why it's all one book, even meaning the second half of Yeshayahu, if it's a separate Navi, it's all one book. And even if it's not a separate Navi, it's certainly all one unit from chapter, on some level, it's connected. There's connective tissue between a 40 and 66. Okay, so let's start with Perek Mem. Let's put it up. Perek Mem, as we noted, first of all, let me get my Tanakh on up and running. So, okay. So, Sefer Yeshayahu. So, as we noted, we put, and again, now let me get my Zoom, sorry, and share. Sharing. So as we noted last week when we divided the Prakim, let's get this bigger here. Just move this. Okay. Make this even bigger. Okay. As we noted in chapter 39 last week, chapter 39 ends with the visit of Merodach Baladan ben Baladan Melech Bavel during the war on Jerusalem in the 700, 701, Sanherib attacks Jerusalem. Chizkiyahu is defending Jerusalem, and he is takes ill during the middle of the battle, and Bavel sends a delegation to him. And again, obviously, they're trying to make an alliance. Yeshayahu is not very happy with the alliance. What did they say to you? They came from a very far away land. What did they see? They saw everything. I showed them everything. I showed them that I was on some level, I wanted to be a full partner with them. There's a predictive prophecy that everything is going to be taken to Bavel, lo yivater davar, umibanecha sheyetzu mimecha asher tolid yikachu, vayu sarisim beichal melech Bavel, vayomer Chizkiyahu Yeshayahu tov dvar Hashem asher dibarta, vayomer ki yeh shalom ve'emet biyamai. So the first half of the book ends with a very ominous prophecy that the Jewish people will end up, certainly something bad will happen and Bavel will turn on Israel. There is no mention of the Churban HaBayit in this prophecy. Yeshayahu did not necessarily envision the Churban HaBayit, but certainly Bavel will turn on you and you will ultimately be subservient to Bavel. Umibanecha asher yetzu mimecha vayu sarisim beichal melech Bavel. They will ultimately serve at the behest of Melech Bavel. That's how this part ends. And so chapter, again, if we can imagine, especially if you believe that the second half was written by a prophet 150 years later, when the Churban has already happened and everything has been foretold, there's tremendous questions now, not of will the Churban happen or learning Musar, but is there any resolution from it, right? The Jews are now, and again, as Ibn Ezra pointed out, Samach, the text puts chapter 40 next to chapter 39 because it ends with the galut, with a heralding of what's going to happen. And now the question, there's a couple of questions that arise, philosophical questions and historical questions. And the philosophical questions and historical questions and are, number one, has God abandoned the Jewish people? The destruction of the temple, the exile of the Jews to Bavel, that raises tremendous theological questions. Has God abandoned the Jewish people? Remember, after the Churban Bayit Sheni, this became a trope of certain strands within Christianity. God has abandoned carnal Israel, the real life Israel, and instead, he has now shifted his love, his chosenness to not Israel in the flesh, but Israel in the spirit, i.e. Those who follow Jesus and those who follow that. And so to hear 500 years earlier, after the Churban, the first theological question is, has God abandoned the Jewish people? The second theological question is, even if God hasn't abandoned the Jewish people, is God capable of saving the Jewish people? Meaning, it could be that God still loves the Jewish people, hasn't abandoned the Jewish people, but does God have the power? Maybe the destruction of the temple, the exile, shows that the Babylonian gods, Marduk, and other gods are as powerful or more powerful. That's the theological question that hovers over the second half of the book. And part of the agenda of the second half of the book is to disprove both, or to answer both of those questions. Yes, God still loves the Jewish people. God still cares about the Jewish people. Number two, and therefore he will redeem the Jewish people. The Brit is everlasting. Even though the Jewish people sinned, and even though the Jewish people did X, Y, Z, God has punished the Jewish people. Whatever God's done, he has not abandoned the Jewish people. Number two, God, there's a strong polemic against all the other gods and all the other theologies that God is obviously able and capable to do this. So now we turn to chapter 40. So it starts with chapter 40. If I take this, and again, So if I look at this and I look at it carefully, I'll notice a couple, and that's why I would like to take this and put this chapter, which, you know, we read, some of it we read as Shabbat Nachamu, some of it that we read last week, part of it, the end of this chapter, we read last week. So if I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, and I put it all there, and then I go like this, I want to divide it in a different way to make it clear, and divide it this way and this way and this way. Okay, so if I look, let me move this over here. Yeah, I want to get rid of this. How do I? Sorry. Okay, so if I, I can't stay like that. Always comes back. I don't know why. Oh, I can do this. Okay. So I'm going to divide, and we'll see why I'm going to do that in a second. I'm going to divide this into a couple of units. First of all, I'm going to divide it into two big units from chapter 1, from verse 1 through verse 11 is the first theme that I mentioned, which is the theme of God's redemption, that he will bring redemption to the Jewish people. The second part is all about Gadlut Hashem, the greatness of God, the power of God. Okay, so the first one is about God bringing consolation and redemption, which implies that God still cares about the Jewish people. And the second is about Gadlut Hashem, the glory and the greatness of God. Within this first section, from verse 1 through verse 11, it too divides itself nicely, as many who have written on this chapter, it too divides itself very nicely into a couple of units. Verse 1 through 2 is unit 1. Verse 3 through 5 is unit 2. Verse 6 through 8 is unit 3. And finally, verse 9 through verse 11 is the last unit in this first section. So I'm going to call this first section, we'll call it, you know, so to speak.
We're not seeing your new division.
Oh, you're not seeing it?
No.
So I gotta stop the share and do the share again. Let me see if I can bring it up, make it small, and make the zoom and share. Okay. Do you see it now?
Yes.
Okay, let me just get rid of this and make this bigger. See if I can move this. I don't know why I can't make it. I can make this. Why can't I move all this here? Okay. I don't know why I can't make it bigger, but it's pretty big as it is, but I'm sorry. Okay. So as I divide it, this first section from Pasuk Aleph to Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph to Yud Aleph, why can't I make this bigger? So, enter full screen. Oh, I did it. Can you see that? Yeah? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Fixed it.
Okay, so the first section I would call, as I said, Nechamot, sorry. And the second section I would call Gadlut Hashem, greatness of God. We'll get to dividing this second section. Again, I separated it out. Just make it even clearer. This first section, we'll put it on a whole nother thing. So this first section, so now let's analyze it. Okay. Nachamu, nachamu, ami, yomar, elokeichem, right? Very famous words. What's unclear exactly is who exactly is getting this tzivui, nachamu, nachamu, ami. Who exactly is getting the tzivui that go and comfort my people? Throughout history, there's basically been a whole series of parshanut. The earliest Jewish parshanut, the Targum and others translate, nachamu, nachamu, the neviya, go to the prophets and tell them to comfort my people. The other approach is Nachamu Nachamu Ami, is a reference to not to the prophets, but to the Pamalia Shomala. You find this also in both ancient and modern writer. The retinue, the divine retinue, is being called upon by God. Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Or it's a reference to the nations of the world. Or it's a reference to just anybody who hears God's voice. What's significant here in this little first opening pasuk is the idea of Ami, that Hashem has taken them once again as his people. That is a very big deal in the world of Tanakh. If you look, for example, in Shemot, right, when we talk about Yitziat Mitzrayim, the covenant, God says that you will be my people, I'm going to take you as my people, and you're going to be, and I'm going to be your God. Remember when Moshe argues on behalf of the Jewish people, when God is ready to destroy the Jewish people in the Chet HaEgel. So Moshe, God says, Lech red kishichet amcha, they're your people. God constantly talks about your people or the people. But here, for the first time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then at the end of that story, it says, Vayinachem Hashem al hara'a asher diber la'asot la'amo. And God pulled back on the punishment, on the evil that he wanted to do to his people. The taking back of the Jewish people as his people is a major theme of redemption, and it's a major theme of Brit, of the covenant. And so here, it's definitely playing off of that. Nachamu, nachamu, ami omar elokeichem. Dabru al lev Yerushalayim, v'kiru eleha, ki mal'at tzva'a, ki nirtza avona, ki lakcha miyad Hashem, ki flayim b'chol chatoteha. Again, so I want to point out a couple of things. We'll go to the other parts of this, and then we'll go back and point out some other things when we look at the totality. So, speak to the heart of Jerusalem, v'kiru eleha. Notice the key word here is call onto it. So speak. So nachamu, then speak to the heart of Jerusalem. Interesting, we'll get back to that. V'kiru eleha, and call to it. Ki malat tzva'a, it's, you know, whatever it was supposed to receive, it received. Ki nirtza avona, it has atoned for its sin. Ki lachcha miyad Hashem. Kiflaim b'chol chatoteh. It has received double. And I think that the play on here is a very nice play. If it received a punishment of double for all its sin, so too it receives a double portion of nechama. Nachamu, nachamu, because lakcha miyad Hashem, kiflaim, double for chol chatoteh. So the first little unit here is calling out to the Nevi'im, or calling out to everybody around, go and comfort the people. But in the context of the comfort is the most important thing. Ami, they are my people. I haven't abandoned them. Yomar Elokeichem, your God. They're your God and my people. The relationship between God and the Jewish people has not been severed. The Brit remains, whatever has happened does not undermine the Brit that has been developed in the Torah. The connective tissue is now here. Whoever was being addressed by God, it said, go to Jerusalem, v'kiru eleha. We now begin kol kore, and if you look at the trup, kol kore, the way the Hebrew, the trup is kol kore, pause, bamidbar panu derech Hashem. In the desert, clear out a path for God. God is coming back in the desert. And as God is coming back, of course, together with God are those who God is going to redeem. So you have already interesting. But you have the kiru, and now we have the kol. So we have kufresh aleph, the kri'a, kiru eleha. Now it's kol kore, a voice calls out. Bamidbar panu derech. Christians, for anyone who's ever studied the New Testament, a voice calls out in the wilderness. In the book of Matthew and in other places, they read it because there's a story there about Jesus calling out in the wilderness. So they wanted to see this as a foreshadowing. But that's not the correct, at least the way most Parshanim, and certainly the Trup, it's called Kore, a voice cries out, Bamidbar panu derech Hashem. In the desert, put out a, clear out a way for God. Notice in this first part of the sentence, we don't know who's doing the calling, and we also don't know who it's directed to. It's just panu derech Hashem, ba'arava yashru arava, ba'arava mesila l'elokein, which also proves the Christological reading is incorrect because of the parallelism. Kol kore, a voice calls out, bamidbar panu derech Hashem, in the desert, clear out a derech Hashem, yashru ba'arava, straighten out in the arava, midbar arava, panu yashru, derech mesila. So you have the parallelism here. The kol kore is the heading. Kol kore, a voice calls out, bamidbar panu derech Hashem. First part of the stanza. First part. Bamidbar panu derech Hashem. Second part of the stanza. Yashru ba'arava. Yashru ba'arava mesila lelokeinu. And now it speaks about it. But again, we haven't yet had, we don't yet have who is being addressed directly, even though it says le'elokeinu, to our God, but we haven't yet specified who it's being addressed to directly. Kol geinah say, all the mountains, I'm sorry, all the valleys will be lifted up. The kol har v'giva yishpalu. So everything is going to be straightened out. So God and whoever God wants to bring with him are going to have a nice, smooth path. It's not going to be a derech kilokel. It's not going to be a winding, a long and winding road. It's going to be a straight path. God is going to take you through the desert. God is going to come through the desert, which again, already, anybody that's reading this, of course, has the image and the resonance of the fact that you're going through the desert certainly reminds us of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Going into the desert, clearing out a path, the mountains will be made straight, the Nigle Kvod Adonai, which also in the desert, they were led by the glory of God. The Anan Va'esh is identified with Kvod Hashem. V'ra'u kol basar yachdav ki pi Hashem diber. And all of humanity will see that God has spoken. So this is what this, so to speak, disembodied voice will say. Kol korei. And in the end, Kipi Hashem Diber. The third stanza, it's not Kol Korei anymore. It's Kol Omer. A voice now says, Kira, you now should speak. Who's supposed to speak? Who's the audience? Who's the person being called to speak? Is it the prophet? Unclear. Va Omar, and I said, Ma'ekra, what should I say? What you should say is Kol Habasar Chatzir, all of humanity. Again, the connective tissue between all of these little stanzas. Dabru Alev Yushalayim V'kir'u Eleha. Kol Korei, a voice calls out. V'ra'u Kol Basar Yachdav. Kol, this time it's not a kol korei, it's kol omer kira. A voice says, now you talk. It's not a kol korei, it's kol omer kira. Again, a kind of development. Here it's just vikir'u, there's no kol. Here it's a kol korei. Here it's a kol which says kira. Va'omar ma'a kira. What you should say is, all basar, all these basar which are going to see God, they should recognize kol habasar chatzir. All of humanity is ultimately like grass. V'chol chazdo kitzitza sadeh. And all of his success, all of humankind's chesed. Chesed in this context means everything that he's able to produce is like tzitza sadeh. It's like the stuff that comes out of the sadeh. It's like the blossoms, like tzitzit, the fringes. Yavesh chatzir, navel tzitz. When the chatzir gets dried out. Now, why does the chatzir, why does grass dry out? Because there's a chamsin. Because there's no rain. Like in New York for the last, there was a fire today in Inwood, above Washington Heights. Yavesh chatzir, from the chamsin, from the dry wind, navel tzitz, and it withers. Ki ruach Hashem nashvabo. And when it withered, it was the chamsin was the ruach Hashem. It was actually the ruach Hashem that destroyed it. Achein chatzir ha'am, because God punished. Yavesh Chatzir Navel Tzitz, meaning there's a recognition that what happened to the Jewish people and what happened, the punishment was from God. And God's word will last forever. Udvar Elokeinu Yakum La'olam. Yes, God punished the Jewish people. God, Kol HaBasar Chatzir, human beings are like grass. They don't live forever. As opposed to Dvar Hashem, Yakum La'olam. God's promise is forever. So even though God punished the Jewish people, even though they're like grass that died, God is now going to take the Midbar. He's going to put a highway through to get back. And now we come to the final stage. Al Har Gavoa Alilach. After you've made it a straight path to return through the desert, now that you've reached, or God has reached, Eretz Yisrael, and the recognition that, yes, Hashem punished the Jewish people, Achein Chatzir Ha'am, they were like grass when they were just Am, but God promises here, Nachamu Nachamu Ami, He's taking them back. Now, Al Har Gavoa, in contrast to the everything being flat, Yashru, Kol Gei Nasev, Kol Har V'Giv Ayishpalu, all the mountains will be made low. Instead, you should go up. Al Har Gavoa Alilach Mivaseret Tzion, the one who is the heralder to Tzion. This time, we have a direct, person being addressed. It's not some disembodied Kol Korei, and we don't know exactly who's hearing. Al Har Gavoa Alilach Mivaseret Tzion, Harimi Ba Koach Kolech. Again, connecting us back. In the beginning, we had just Kuf Resh Aleph. Then we had Kol and Kuf Resh Aleph. Kol Omer Kira, and in the end, we just have the Kol. Al Har Gavoa, the Kol Kore, the two phrases, Kir'u, Kolech, they act as a kind of literary envelope. Al Har Gavoa Lilach, go up! Mivaser Tzion, Harimi Bekoach Kolech, raise up your voice, which is of course very nice. You go up on a mountain and you go up in your voice, you raise your voice. Mevaser Yerushalayim, Harimi, Al Tirai, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that Babylon is going to win. Imri Le'are Yehuda Hine Elokechem, your God is here. Yomar Elokechem, Hine Elokechem, Hine Adonai Elohim Bechazak Yavo Uzeroah Moshalolo. God is coming. Bechozek, biyad chazaka ubizuroa nituya. God is coming with an outstretched hand. God is coming, and He's going to dominate, just as He did when the Jewish people left Egypt. Hine scharo ito upeulato lefanav, a very ambiguous phrase. Nobody knows exactly what it means. Hine scharo ito ufeulato lefanav. His actions are before him. All kinds of interpretations. Many will interpret this as a reference already to the Jewish people. Hine scharo ito is a reference to he is going to bring back. He's going to redeem them from Babel. The redemptive God, the salvific God, He is going to come with his schoira, as they say in Yiddish. And the schoira is the Jewish people who He created. Pulato lefana. Kiro'eh edro yir'eh. He will be like a shepherd that leads his flock. Bizro'o yikabetz tzla'im, with his hand, the outstretched hand. He will gather the shepselach. Ubecheiko yisa alot yinahel, and in his bosom he will carry the alot. Alot are the young fledgling little sheep or calves or whatever, he will gather them and lead them. So this is the Besorah of Geula. This is the, and again, it has a lot of echoes of, as I said, Yitziat Mitzrayim. It has the echoes. God has the echoes of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Nachamu Nachamu Ami Omar Elokeichem, the Brit at the beginning of Parshat Va'era. And God taking us once again as his people. The Kol Korei Bamidbar Panu Derech Hashem. Quote Hashem in the Midbar, leading us in the desert. You have the Yad Chazaka and the Zroa Nituya, so to speak. You have the Chazak and the Zroa. You have God leading us in the desert like sheep, bringing us back to Yerushalayim and to Tzion. Mevaseret Tzion and Mevaseret Yerushalayim. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This is a nevuah that's being said in the midst of despair. It's 550, 545 BCE. Jerusalem has been destroyed already for 40 years. Bavel, the community in Bavel is taking shape. Who knows what's going to happen? Yes, there's some rumblings in the distance that there's this Persian kingdom that's starting to make trouble for Babylon, but who knows? Who's heard of that? Nobody ever thought that Persia was a small, again, who knows anything about that? Okay. So comes the text and tells us this. But I want to read this again and add another layer. Again, trying to connect this passage to another passage in Sefer Yeshayahu. So you have a chat. What was the question? Oh, I was just Jay. Okay, sorry. So I want to connect to another chapter in Sefer Yeshayahu. And just to highlight, because as I said, he's trying to parallel a couple of things. Especially if this is the Nechama to the Nevuot of destruction. And not just the Nevuah in Perek, the end of Perek Lamed Tet, but the entirety of the book of the first book of Yeshayahu. It's a kind of response to the first book of Yeshayahu with the Nevuot of Churban that are promised. And whether the Churban is ambiguous and was a reference to the Churban of the 10 tribes or the Churban of Yerushalayim that would come in some way or would be connected, I want to show a couple of things. So if you have your Tanakh, you have a Tanakh, let's go for a second. So keep your Tanakh on Perek Mem for a second. So if you have your Tanakh, and we are going to go to chapter 6. Why chapter 6? Because chapter 6 is the major chapter of what's called Nevuat HaKdasha. It is the famous chapter of consecration where Yeshayahu becomes a Navi. And if we look at that chapter, we'll notice a couple of things that, at least to me, stick out that I believe the chapter 40 here is trying to play off of. And it makes a lot of sense. If chapter 6 is the consecration Nevuah of Yeshayahu in his mission, so here is the first Nevuah of the kind of a consecration Nevuah for Yeshayahu Bet, either the same prophet or a different prophet. So let's take a look in Yeshayahu. Let's take a look in Yeshayahu Perek Vav. And again, this is the famous Nevuah, which we read as Parshat Yitro. It's read on Parshat Yitro, as the Haftarah of Parshat Yitro. So Yeshayahu Perek Vav, B'shnot Mot HaMelech Uzziyahu. So again, I would urge you to keep your Tanakh open to chapter 40 and the verses we just looked at, the section of 1 through 11. B'shnot Mot HaMelech Uzziyahu, V'aret Adonai Yoshev Al Kisiram Nisa. Srafim omdim imalo, sheish knafayim, sheish knafayim. Vikara ze el ze v'amar. So Yeshayahu heard a voice, again, a kriya. Vikara ze el ze v'amar. Kadosh, 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 natzot, meloch al haaretz kvodo. So it's fascinating. What did Yeshayahu hear? He heard about the fact that God is totally other. He's kadosh, he's holy, he's separate. He's totally beyond time and space, of humanity. And God's glory, Kavod Hashem, fills the whole world. So again, you have the theme of Kavod Hashem. Here in Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu Mem, as God returns through the desert, V'nigla Kavod Hashem, God's glory will be revealed. So we have the glory of God, the glory of God. We have a kri'a, v'kara, this is what he hears. It continues. And Yeshayahu describes how he is of unclean lips. U'betoch am t'mei svatayim anochi yoshev. I am in a people that is symbolically tamei. Vayaf elai echad min asrafim v'yado ritzpa. Vayigal piv hinein nagal zel svatecha v'sara vonecha v'chatotecha techupar. In this nevuah, in order for him to become a Navi, a servant of God, an Eved Hashem, a messenger of God, he has to be cleansed. Visar avonecha. He's cleansed and he is given forgiveness, which is exactly what happens here. God says, not to the Navi, but to the people writ large, because the people in chapter 6 are not going to get any kapara and they're not going to get any Ritzui Avon. It's only in chapter 40. Here it's only the Navi who is going to get the Sar Avonecha, and here we have Venirtsa Avona. It continues, Va'eshma et kol Adonai Omer. Again, he heard the angels, and then I heard kol Hashem Omer. He hears a voice. Et mi eshlach umi elech lanu. Who will be the messenger? And what is the message? Lech v'amarta la'am hazeh. Notice, in none of this perek are the Jewish people called my people. Lech v'amarta el ami. It reminds me, whenever I read this, of Shmot perek lamed dalet. Lech rei kishichet amcha. It's a sign of disdain for the people. Lech v'amarta la'am hazeh, shim'u shamoa, you will hear. You'll hear a voice. V'al tavinu, but you won't understand. Ura'u ra'o v'al teidau, you won't know. Hashmein le'va'am hazeh, make their heart grow fat. V'oznav hachbeid, and let their ears grow heavy. Pen yir'e be'inav, u'levavo yavin v'shav v'rafalo. God wants to punish them. He doesn't believe that it is the time yet for them to be redeemed. Here in 700 or 750 BCE, go and tell this people, they're not my people, this people. And I heard a voice, just like the Navi here says, call Omer, Kira, go and tell the people. And what is he told? He's told that you're going to be punished. Va Omar, ad matai Adonai, until when? Vayomer ad asher im sha'u arim me'en yoshev, until the cities are destroyed, Shoah. Ubati me'en adam v'adamatish eshmama, it will become desolate. Verichak, it will be the chatzir, the grass that withers away. Verichak Hashem et adam, and God will exile the people. V'rabah ha'azuva b'kerav ha'aretz. It will be a destruction. It will be a wilderness, etc. And it will burn like the trees. So now, when we come to Yeshayahu, Perek Mem, you have all those elements here. Nachamu, nachamu, ami, the reversal of am. They are now my people. Dabru alev Yerushalayim, instead of hashmein lev ha'am, make their lev heavy, rather dabru, speak to them and guide them and teach them. Ki mal'at tzva'a ki nirtza avona. It's not like Perek Vav, where Yeshayahu says that, you know, that God forbid they should do teshuva, where God says to Yeshayahu, but that they Sarah only on Yeshayahu Sarah Avonecha. Here it's the opposite. Here the people, their Avon. Here it's the Avon of the people has now been Nirtza. Ki Nirtza Avona Ki Lakam Yad Hashem Kiflayim B'chol Chatoteh. Kol Kore, a voice calls Bamidbar Panu Derech V'Nigla Kvod Hashem, the revealing of the glory of God. V'Ra'akol Basar Ki Achdav Ki Pi Hashem Diber, and they'll hear and they'll see that God speaks. V'Ra'u Ki Pi Hashem Diber. Call Omer Kira. Now a call said to me, go and speak. Va'omar ma'ekra. Just like Yeshayahu there. What should I say? Here he says, what should I say? He should tell them that you were punished. Call habasar chatzir v'chol chazdo yavesh chatzir navil. But dvar Hashem yakum leolam. The word of God will always be. And now the word of God is al har gabo alilach mevaseret zion harimi bakoch kolech al tirai. Imri la'are Yehuda hine elokechem. Instead of Yeshayahu being told, until when will they suffer? And they'll suffer until ad im sha'u arim me'en yoshev, until all of the cities are desolate. Here it's, go to the city and tell the cities of Judea, hine elokechem, God is coming back. And he's coming back with his people. Hine scharo ito kiro edro yir ebizro yikabetz tlaim ubecheko yisa alot yinahel. He's going to bring back all of the people to, okay? And so what you have here is a reversal. You have a reversal of what's happening. I also think there's a nice little play on words. God here says, when he reminded them of the sin, God said, "Kol Omer Kira, Va Omar Ma'ekra." What should I call out? Kol Abasar Chatzir, and then it's repeated again. Yavesh Chatzir. Okay, the Basar. All of the Basar Yachdav will see and hear. Ki Pi Hashem Diber. But the basar has been punished. Kol basar chatzir. But ultimately, al har gavoa alilach mivaseret zion. I think there's a play here on basar and mivaser. Instead of the basar, which is withering, you now are going to have a mivaser. You're going to have a heralding of the redemption. Harimi bakoach kolech. Rise up your voice in strength. Mivaseret. Yerushalayim. Two times basar and two times mevaseret. Harimi al tirai imri le'arei Yehuda hine elokechem. Behold, your God is here. Hine Adonai Elohim b'chazak yavo uzro'o moshlalo hine scharo itofu otofanam kiro'eh edro yireh. He's going to take care of his sheep. He's not going to abandon his sheep. Bizro'o yikabetz tlaim. He's going to gather. Now, the second half of this perek, which requires a lot more analysis, but I will just say tonight before we go into it in depth next week, the second half of the perek, which starts with Mimadad Bisha'alo Mayim, is going to now begin to address the second question. And the second question is, okay, God has not abandoned the Jewish people. God has taken the Jewish people back as his people. God cares about the Jewish people. God is going to do a second exodus, and God is, and this Navi now has become sanctified, consecrated, whatever term you want to use, to be the prophet of Geula, the prophet of redemption, the prophet of Nechama. But can God do it? Can God do it? And that's the second half of this Nevuah. Again, we'll go into it in depth next week. I have to stop at this point. I will see everybody next week and hope to we'll continue in-depth learning of Sefer Yeshayahu and try to understand what's going on in these very famous Nevuot. We all know these. Beautiful. We have songs about them. Nachamu, Nachamu. We all know the songs. You know? But to understand what's undergoing is I think, adds to our knowledge and our understanding. I want to wish everybody a wonderful week. Again, let's hope to hear better news and good news from Israel and all those who are in harm's way. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody.